It's like waking up for the very first time. I'm alive and I'm breathing, my heart's beating. I'm alive, I'm alive. It's like waking up for the very first time. I'm alive and I'm breathing, my heart's beating. I'm alive.
Good morning. How are you guys feeling this morning? Good? Awesome, awesome. Hey, Metro, what's up? Can we make some noise for them? They're joining us as well. Last week, we kicked off our second location. Excited about that. Excited about the community here at Metro. We love you guys. And obviously, if you're joining online as well, you're the best. We love this. Love, 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 love. So last week was bananas, bananas. And I just want to take a couple of minutes and just say, to all of those who serve here at Mosaic, thank you so much for what you do. I mean, really, this past weekend, we hosted like over 1,100 people, and then that wasn't even including online. So that was incredible. That was great. Yeah, make some, you can clap. It's awesome. It's great. We had services all the weekend, Good Friday, to a Metro, to here, bananas. It was awesome. But I want to just say, for those of you who do serve, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of love. And I want to say thank you so much. Those of you who are setting up, tearing down at Metro, thank you for those of you who do that. I mean, in fact, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, if people did not volunteer or serve, we would not be enjoying this moment right now. Right now. Because your kids will be here. Yeah. And we love your kids. But yeah. So, but not just that. I mean, you wouldn't have coffee. And we know, that's Jesus juice right there, people. We know, so those of you who brew our coffee, from those of you who take care of our kids, park cars, thank you. Our youth serve, it's awesome. It's wonderful. And second shout out is for those of you who give. Now, there are people who consistently, sacrificially, you just give. You give, and you've been tithing, or you've been giving to the Hope Initiative, or you just give online. I just want to say thank you. You know, my wife Ashley, she heads up our community outreach efforts, and she was recently at a meeting where there was the guy who was leading the meeting was he's the superintendent for the North area schools for CMS, and he was talking about partnership with churches and schools, and so he highlighted and used Mosaic as the example of what a partnership should really look like. And Ashley did not know he was going to do this, and so he just made a big deal, started bragging on us. And this is the partnership. Those of you who might not know this, maybe at Metro, maybe there are some of you who know this. This is the school we were in before we got here, which was North Mech High School, which we don't even talk about. We don't even talk about that. It'll be the one who shall not be named. I mean, it's like we don't talk about that school because it was a dark time for us. It's a dark time, but we made it out, and we made it out. Hello, we love the people, not the building. But we did a lot of repairs there, and so he was talking about how much money and effort we put in that. And so I just want to say, those of you who give, we wouldn't be able to do what we are doing if you didn't give to us, and we collected our resources and were able to really serve our community. Even now, I'm just, you know, I just can't believe it. I don't even know if you guys know this. You might not know this if you're watching online, or might not even, you know, might not relate to you because you're not in this country. But we started this ministry called Bags of Hope, and every week we kind of fill up 15 bags, partner with Winding Springs Elementary School, and we provide 15 bags every week for families who they don't have enough food. And so every week we've been doing this for a month now or more. And so again, all of that is due to finances, due to your commitment to giving and serving. So I just want to say thank you. Can I do that? Just thank you. Thank you so much. Also, if you want to serve, if you want to get connected, if you are walking in Metro, it's your first time, or you're just getting new to Mosaic, maybe your first time here, Mosaic, our app on our phone, on your phone, we have phones for everybody, and you get one, and you, no, Oprah's over. Okay, so, but we have an app, and you get an app, and you get an app. Yeah, you can download one. And it's just Mosaic Charlotte, and download the app. You can give, connect, serve, watch online, all kinds of stuff. Love for you guys to be a part of what God's doing here. Thanks for being here. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to kick off a series called Reborn, and it's a three-week series. Next week is Baptism Sunday. This month is full. It's packed. I mean, we've got we're doing a 12-year anniversary that's coming up. Yeah, we're excited about that. All kinds of fun stuff here at this campus and at Metro as well. Like our 8-year anniversary, we actually had a live camel on stage. Live camel. I'm thinking lion this time. What do you guys think? No, not going to happen. Okay, so maybe at Metro, we'll just let one loose in there. Have fun. Okay, no, we're not going to do that. But it'll be a blast, so don't miss that weekend. But this conversation that leads up to our anniversary is very important to me, and I think it's really important to all of us. And it's this idea of what does it mean to be reborn? And we talk about it. We have T-shirts to say reborn. We baptize people. But sometimes, you know, you kind of, I don't know if you can be this real with me, but sometimes you sign up for something and you don't know what you signed up for. Sometimes it's with Jesus the same way. You're like, reborn, new life, Easter, he has risen, and you're still stuck. Does that make sense? Like, sometimes you go, is this going to work for me? Or is it just working for everybody else? Like, what happens? And I think part of the problem is that we don't really know or really understand what we signed up for. Like, what are you really, really signed up for? I mean, we have all these experiences, but you didn't sign up for. And then at times you are like, you make a commitment or you start coming to church or you start turning your life around, if you want to call it, you know, whatever way you think that is. And then you realize you're not just really prepared for the temptation. Like, no one really prepares you for godly people being jerks. Don't point. No. But like, there's no jerks here. We kick them all out. We do. That's the one condition we do have, man. If you're unkind, you are not accepted here. You could be dealing drugs. We don't care. But you got to be kind. You just got to be a kind drug dealer. And you're good. We're good. Just be kind. There's so much truth to that. It's not even funny. Anyway, so let's just focus. Say no to drugs. Okay, guys. Where was I? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. What was I? Drugs? Sign up? What? End times? I was end times? Reborn, that's it. It's a series. We're in a series called Reborn. Why? I don't even know. No. Here's the deal. The deal is that I recently had a conversation with a guy, and I'll just call him Bob, okay? Just call him Bob. And Bob and I started having a conversation about his new season of life. He's newly retired, widower, and he just needed community. And I was like, you know, and not really been a church guy, right? Invited him, started coming. And Bob came for a while, and then I didn't see Bob anymore, okay? And finally, I was like, hey, bro, where you been? What's going on? And he was just honest. He had an honest moment with me. And he said, I tried it. Didn't work for me. I was like, what do you mean? He said, yeah, I tried the church thing and didn't work for me. He's like, I tried the whole Jesus thing. It didn't really work for me. And I mean, I think Bob has struggles with a lot of different things. But I kind of went, I hate that. Because, you know, because of what I do, there's a lot of people I've seen like start off really strong and then crash and burn. There are people like I know in college who were like, oh, Jesus. And now it's like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what's going on with you. Because online, at least, you seem like you are angry at everybody. So what happens? There's some people who are like so fired up, you know, and then they just lose it. I wonder if it's because they tried Jesus, they tried church, quote unquote, and then something happens that they didn't really understand what they're signing up for. So this conversation, Reborn, is about what you're signing up for. And in fact, it's three parts, because this morning I want to talk about what you're really signing up for. Next week, the commitment, what you're really committing to. And then last week, talking about all the risks involved. And it's one of those conversations that is not a grace sales pitch. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it is not the conversation pastors and preachers want to have. This is the series about all the fine print. Not the big picture, it's all the fine print. It's like, oh, it's great. Because sometimes, like, Jesus, coming to Jesus can be like, and it's a Disney cruise. Jesus is all about trying to make you happy. That is not true, apparently. You know? Apparently it's not. It's like, I'll make you happy unless it is against what I'm have planned for you in your life. And I think for some of us, we're like, can I just have the other? Can I opt out? Can I leave here? Can I leave? And it seems like you can't leave. It's like Amway. You just can't leave. You can't leave it. They won't let you go. Just want to do it. So let's have this conversation. Should we? Let me read you a couple of verses and we'll just jump right into it. So for the first conversation I want to have is this idea of your spiritual life. So you're at Metro, you walked in, you're trying to figure out, you don't know me, I don't know you. Just say we're brand new, you have no idea my background, church background, I don't know yours. Where are you spiritually? You're somewhere. And if you're watching this, listening to this, you're jogging, maybe you're watching this later on, you have one thing in common with me. And that is that you are wanting to grow in your faith. You're trying to figure out the spiritual life. You're trying to figure out how this works. And you've been, if you agree with me, been frustrated, distracted, disappointed, maybe a little bit about like, okay, is it moving forward? What does it look like? Well, this passage that I want to read to you is a conversation that Jesus had. And it basically needs to set the tone for this whole series. And needs to be the biggest reminder for so many of us, if not all of us. And this is the conversation that Jesus has with a guy named Nicodemus. Can you say Nicodemus? Nicodemus? Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a guy. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher. He's a rabbi. But he's also someone really important. He was on a council called the Sanhedrin, which was the religious council that governed civil, religious, and even different things within the Jewish culture at the time when they were oppressed by the Romans, okay? So this guy had authority, he had influence, he was a councilman kind of a feel. So this guy, because of his image, because of a lot of things, he had some questions about Jesus and questions about his teachings, and he comes to him at night, and it's particular. He comes to him when no one's around, not in the middle of the day, as he's teaching. People would ask Jesus questions all the time. This guy comes at night because he doesn't want other people to know that he's doing this, maybe. Or he has some really deep questions. Like, he really is digging what Jesus is saying, but he finds that the stuff that he's been following along, like the things that he's been doing all his whole life religiously, is not paying out. And so he wants to know, like, there's something up with you. Like, you're saying some things I've never seen before. You're doing some things I have never heard of before. What's going on here? Are you for real? What's the deal? Nicodemus is the guy who actually heard the very first time, the most popular verse, at least in Western culture, okay? What is the most popular verse in the U.S.? Let's just say the U.S. right now. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Gives only son. Yeah, we know this, sir. Okay, but you know it. Here's the thing. It was actually a conversation. It was a conversation. And the conversation was this guy asking Jesus, tell me about your experience. What are you saying here? What's the spiritual life that you're talking about? And then Jesus tells him, this idea of being born again. Any of you heard of this phrase, being born again? We've heard that, right? If you're in the South, people have said that before. I'm a born again believer. I'm a born again, like born again believer. You're a what? You're a born again believer. I remember the first time. I came to the South when I came from Kuwait. I came to the South. I heard that. I was like, I don't know what you are. What are we talking about? What are you doing here? And so the phrase actually comes from this conversation as well, because Jesus tells this guy, you have to be born again. Now, I want to read you a paraphrased version of this passage. So John writes it down, the different translation. This is the Message translation. Okay? The Message translation is a paraphrased translation of the Bible. I highly recommend reading it at least once in your journey with God, because it gives you a very different perspective and very different way of looking at Scripture. It's written by a guy who's British, and so the way he phrases things, the vocabulary he uses is very, very refreshing. So he writes this account down. Now, let me read this to you. Now, after I'm done with it, you're not going to know what I said. I'm just going to tell you right now, okay? This is Jesus' words by this guy, Eugene Peterson, who's the author of the translation. He writes this, okay? So this is what he says. He says, Jesus said, what did he say? He said, you're not listening. You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, dash the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the invisible, a baptism into a new life, unless a person submits to that, he's saying, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just a baby, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within, interesting, who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from what? Above and out of this world, so to speak. You know very well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it is headed next. That's the way it is with everyone. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. I know, some of you are like, what was that? That's a typical response to a question that Jesus is always asked. He gives an answer, and you people are like, that's so awesome. I don't know what to write here. Can you give me 3 points? What are you saying? What are you saying? This is the same thought that Nicodemus had. And if you look at just the teachings of Jesus, okay, you'll find that he does not make it easy. He does not. Like, there's never a do these five things. 7 habits of highly effective disciples. Like, there's no 1, 2, 3s. There's none of that. It's like there's a wind. What? What are you saying? What are you talking about? The Celtic Christians had a name for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It was called Unglad Goss, which means wild goose. That's where we get the wild goose chase from. That's where we get it from. It's this idea of like, no idea. No idea what's going to happen. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, so the way you're going to go spiritually, you're not going to understand it. By the way, you know how to make human things. You can reproduce humans like a baby. Only the spirit can reproduce something spiritual. So I really appreciate you busting it to make things happen. But the way you're going to have a new life and live a spiritual life is going to have to be done by something that you cannot see. It's going to take form within. And it's going to be done by God. And for some of us, that should set you free. He's saying, if you're going to grow spiritually, you have to understand this critical thing that is the work of God within you. It is something that is invisible. The Spirit comes and goes. You can't control it. You can't put a timeline. And you can't go, in 5 years or in 3 months, I'm going to accomplish this. Spirit, this is not a diet. This is not a regiment. It's something that is so abstract, very real, very true, very creative, and extremely important for you and I to understand, because if we don't, we're going to burn out. You are signing up for this. You're signing up for something you cannot understand, but what's very, very real. And that is your spiritual growth. None of us grow spiritually at the same rate. None of us go through seasons the same time. We've all heard, oh, your journey is different. Yes, of course it is. Your walk is different, as your journey is different, but also your expression of worship is different. We're all extremely different. Last week, right on Sunday, I got a text from a pastor. Now, he's actually a father. So it's Father John Parker. Let me show you a picture. Let's put up that picture. So Father John Parker is a guy who is an Orthodox priest. And I met him, I don't even know, I think in California, and I found out that he was in Charleston. Anyways, we became just buddies. I don't know why. I don't know how. We have nothing in common. I really like that outfit. I really do. So they show up to our staff meeting, and they kind of lead us through a prayer, and it's like Orthodox. It's awesome. And I so badly the entire time want to say, are you in the Matrix? Are you in the Matrix? I really wanted to do that. Or they look like vampire killers. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But it looks solid. I mean, they look like, okay, this is awesome. What's really ridiculous about that, they have crosses, and my shirt has a skull on it. Yeah, very reverend of me. Anyways, so he texted me, and he was praying for me this past weekend, and he was like, hey, just thinking about you, love to connect again. And I remember thinking, and in the middle of us having a conversation, I was thinking, I don't worship like you at all. He would look at some of the things we do or has, and he's like, you know, this is not the real stuff. This is the real stuff. I mean, they're very liturgical. I mean, they do a lot of ceremonial things. I mean, there's power in silence for them. I mean, there's a lot of practices. And so sometimes what we can do is we can look at other people's spirituality and judge ourselves. Not just judge them, judge ourselves. And we can just go, okay, now that's very spiritual, and I don't know what that is. And what we've done, even as the church, the modern church, we've looked at other denominations and we've looked down upon them. We said, oh, well, Catholics, they don't have a clue. And some of you guys who are Catholics, you're like, that's true. No, it's not true. There's something beautiful in a lot of expressions of worship. And it's something that we need to understand. So all this to say, when we're signing up for something, the deal is not let's look at other people and become like them. There's something deeper to that. Number one, it is a very spiritual act. Your relationship with Jesus is a very spiritual thing. Yes, it requires a lot of physical things. It requires you maybe opening up, the scriptures and reading it and having a time of focus and prayer and a lot of physical things. But there is something supernatural that happens. I mean, I was recently just journaling, and it had been a while since I'd kind of written anything. And I was like, my journals are hilarious with Jesus. I'm like, so it's been a month. And I write that down. I haven't written anything. And I'm just realizing that as God speaks, he says, hey, that's not the point. You just showing up is half of the deal. You just show up, and I'll do something that you can never, ever do on your own. So just understand that. So if you understand this, that should give you some kind of perspective on, okay, as I'm walking through my faith, as I'm wrestling the things, as I'm feeling like I've signed up for Jesus and I've lost friends and I don't know what's going on in my career and my family and my marriage is hard and this and that and that, just understand something. There's something so supernatural going on in the midst of it. But what are some things that you need to know you are really signing up for? Let me give you some things. Let me take you to a passage. It's found in Galatians, the book of Galatians. And let's just go through it. Galatians 3, it says this. Verses 24 to 29, it says this. Galatians says, Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And you have been united with Christ in baptism, have put on faith, Now, I want you to understand something. Basically, he's saying, hey, there was a way that you used to live. There was a way that you used to grow spiritually. There used to be a law that you followed, rituals. You had to do certain things, and there was a way of faith. But all of that is gone now. For example, Easter. Easter marks the end of all of those things. New life. But what this means is a new life not having law as the guardian, but having the wind of the Spirit of God as the guardian. It's a very different way to live. And then he explains it, which is a little bit more harder to understand. He says this, all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ. And basically he's saying now you're going to get baptized. People who are getting baptized, you're doing something. Here's what you're doing. It's like you're putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and now you belong to him. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belongs to you. Now, let's break this down. What is he saying? Number one, he's saying this idea of putting on new clothes. What you need to understand is new life starts with you signing up for something in particular. It starts with you signing up to basically, number one, submit to a bigger purpose. Putting on new clothes. He's saying, when you're signing up, when you commit to it. Now, baptism is like an outward expression of inward faith. Like it's like the thing, I'm going to do this. What it means really is that you're putting on this new. It's kind of interesting because you're like getting baptized, you're stripping away the old, but you're putting on the new. He's saying you're putting on new clothes, which means you are now submitting, in one sense, to a new purpose in life. You know, this generation, I would say, is one of the generations that understands purpose more than any other generation, I think. Because this generation, it feels like they understand that purpose is bigger than themselves. Like they want to be a part of something that's so much bigger. Like this idea of really making a difference and coming together as a world is a big deal. And I think there are pockets of, in each generation, the people who feel like, okay, there's something bigger. I got to be part of something bigger. The thing is that we are created for that. You're created for a much bigger purpose. It confuses your soul. It confuses your soul when the biggest focus is, what am I here for? It confuses your soul when you are looking, your biggest thing is, I want to fulfill my purpose in life. But the reason is it confuses you because it becomes about you. It becomes about me. If I focus on, okay, I just want to make sure that I want to accomplish my purpose, my purpose, my purpose. All of those are great intent. But here's the reality. Your life is too precious. It's too powerful to be spent just on yourself. It just is. And your purpose is not the end all, be all. In fact, when you sign up with Jesus, your purpose becomes a means to a bigger end. See, we think that you and I, relationships, are just a means to accomplishing my purpose. Like, I want to accomplish this, and that's my purpose, and you and other people and opportunities, you're the means to the end. But when it comes to when you submit to a bigger purpose, when you submit to Jesus, if you want to be like experience being reborn, what you're really signing up for is, okay, so my purpose is little purpose, and there's a bigger purpose, and my purpose becomes the means to the end. So God, you can use me to fulfill your dreams. So you no longer pray, my dreams come true. You pray, God, your dreams come true through me. A very different prayer. Very different. But that's the fine print. That's what you're really signing up for. Because that's the deal. Next, he says, this idea of no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. This, friends, is such a big deal. Such a big deal. Richard Rohr is an author, and he wrote several books. He talks about this true self versus false self. True self, he talks about the things that are sort of permanent, and false self are the things that are temporary. And basically, he makes the case as a society, and even as Christians or followers of Jesus, we spend a lot of time on our temporary self versus our permanent self. Here, the scriptures are actually listing out all the things that are temporary. You're no longer Jew or Gentile. Yeah, I know you make a big deal about being a particular nationality. It's temporary. I know there's a lot of people ticked off about a lot of political stuff. Get it. I get it. Temporary. Nations, empires, temporary. You're like, no, I'm going to be an American in heaven. Okay. But so are people who conquered this place before, and they're going to be like, no, we're the Indians in heaven, or Rome, or we are Spartans. I mean, what? Depending on what generation and what time in history you lived, you just thought this land was this. 500 years from now, this might be called something else. Jesus is saying basically, hey, there's no Jew or Gentile. That goes away. Secondly, he goes, there's no male or female either. We're like, no, I'm a man. I got it. Yes, sir, you are. But here's the deal. You're going to move into a very spiritual being, and I don't think it's confined by gender. Here he's saying no male, female, no marriage. It's just going to be a very different reality. And we spend a lot of time about being like being a man and being a woman and being kind of look like this is what, we just spend a lot of time on that. We just do. And he's saying, just want to let you know, there's going to be a time where it doesn't matter. No nationality, no that. And then he says, no free or slave. Hey, it doesn't matter how wealthy you're going to be or how poor you are. There is going to be a day, write this down, there will be no bills to pay. Right? There will be no bills to pay. There is no credit score. Can I get an amen? Okay, the end of the month. No, it's all over. It's all over. Also, there's a time where it doesn't matter who you are and what you were and where you are, what you wear and what you drive. You spend a lot of time on that. And basically, Jesus is saying, here's what you're signing up for. You need to focus on your permanent self, not your temporary self. See, your permanent self is your personality, your character, your willingness to sacrifice, your investment in others. There's something within you need to grow. That actually lasts. That's not going away. But all the other things are going to go away. So the question is, are you going to spend your time and life worrying about those things? Or are you going to understand there is no Jew or Gentile, there is no male or female, there is no slave or free. We are all one. It's the unifying factor when it comes to being a follower of Jesus. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm a woman and I get special treatment, or I'm a guy, I get special treatment, or I'm a so-and-so nationality, I'm Jewish, you're not, I have more access to heaven. No, none of that. It all goes away. You're signing up for that. Number three, learn to listen within. You're signing up for that. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you belong to Christ. He said, you belong to Christ. When he uses the phrase, you belong to Christ, it's a very shepherding phrase. It's like this saying, my sheep know my voice. It's like, you belong to me. You're part of my flock. You're part of me. You're part of me. And basically what that means is that we have a communication that we're growing in. You and I are talking to each other. So I need you to understand something. When you sign up and you go, I want to follow Jesus, or I want to be reborn, or you're having this conversation even right now, but it feels so awkward because it's like you thought you were spiritually one place and then you realize you're not. Have you ever had that experience? You're like, you're going great, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, not awesome. I am not that awesome. What's going on? What's going on? You get confused by this. I think what we forget is when you sign up with this idea of being formed spiritually from within, you sign up to learn to listen to God. Learning to listen to God. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that God is talking to every one of you. God's talking to every one of you. You're like, I think he talks to you more. Not true. I ask more. That could be it. God's talking to you. God's talking to you. God's talking to you. God's talking to you. Some psychologists actually talk about how because of trauma or because of certain things that happen to people, they call this term, they have a inner silence. And inner silence is when you stop listening to yourself because you don't want to go through that pain. Like you don't want to go through the trauma of what happened. And if you're faced with something so big or so complex, the memory of it is just as worse, right? It's reliving it. So people just stop. And what they do is they begin to have an inner silence, they call it. Now, the inner silence transfers over spiritually as well because you just stop listening to the voice of God in your life. There is no conversation going on, but I guarantee you he's talking to you. I guarantee you he's talking to you. That's why you're here this morning. You're listening, you're at Metro, you're serving, you give, you're a part, you're connected, you tuned in. God is speaking to you. Your mind doesn't have the capacity to understand that it's him. Your soul longs for it, so it connects. And you go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I feel I need to do this. Why? Because God is talking to you. The question is, will you learn to listen? Learn to listen. And I think, you know, I'll tell you what. I think sometimes, like in spiritual conversations in churches, I think sometimes like pastors, you know, and teachers who really, really do have the best intentions, they miss the whole point. They miss the whole point because there's so much, like I'll say we, like pastors, we want to say to you guys and we want you guys to know, and there's not enough time, so we just go, stop doing this. Just stop all this and then start doing all that because we have to dumb it down for you guys. Or it feels like we should. And then sometimes books do it too. Stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing that, start doing this, start doing that. So it's always a stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. It's no wonder people want to throw up. Like they're like, what? What's going on? And part of the problem is that we basically tell people like, hey, you need to just, you know, like it's like it's this idea of like, let's get people to follow certain commandments. And I was thinking about this because I'm a parent and I just realized I don't want to teach my kids the Ten Commandments. You're like, what? I don't want them. I want them to learn to be the Moses who goes up and gets them. Go get yourself some. Don't get hand-me-downs. The reason why Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments is because none of them wanted to go up. And we spend our whole Christian life trying to do the Ten Commandments. And we teach people to obey, or we try to get them to obey. What we have to actually do is try to get them to learn to listen, go and seek. Go get yourself some. That's what you're signing up for. And lastly is surrender to grace. You have to surrender to grace. It's simple as this. For some of you, unforgiveness, stubbornness, passivity, maybe even aggressiveness, anger, serious doubt, cynicism is a form of pride that has left you all alone and you really feel like God is not with you. And the reason he's not with you is because he's resisting you. And what I mean by that is it's like he can't come closer because he can't come close to someone who's so bound up in pride. The scriptures are actually clear. He says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Because there's one thing you can't do. You can't work with people who are stubborn. You can't work with people who are just will not let it go. who just won't surrender themselves. And you know people like that, don't you? And some of us, we've been there. But unforgiveness, stubbornness, it does that. We hold on, and we don't surrender. And for some of us, I think the answer really is what would your spiritual life look like? Starting from this week, from this message, where you go, I surrender to grace. I surrender to grace. What that means is you have to surrender and admit that you don't have it together. You're not perfect. You do sin. And sometimes you have more bad thoughts than good ones. And you just gotta own it. You have to surrender to the great God's grace in your life. Would you be willing to do that? There's a great book I recently read. It's called The Gift of Imperfect Parenting. And it's actually an addendum to another book. It's called The Gift of Imperfection by Brené Brown. And I think there's some spiritual truths in there, that your gift to your loved ones is actually your quirkiness. It's actually your imperfection. No one wants to have a relationship with a perfect person. We've got one perfect person in our life, and it's hard to know him. Jesus. Okay. Just be clear. But would you surrender to his grace? Here's what I'll leave you with. Philippians. This is Paul. Paul, who used to be called Saul, but he wants to be called Paul. He writes this. He says, I'm sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his, what? Grace. Until his task within you is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Paul knew this. He was like, if we're going to grow deeper, it's something that has got to go within. It's got to be within. So let me pray for you. If you go to the cross this morning, maybe for you it's like a surrender to grace. If you receive communion, maybe for you it is I'm gonna submit myself to a bigger purpose. What is it for you? Maybe for you it's you light a candle, just reminding yourself to hear from God about certain things in your life. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you. Thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you, God, that we can have real conversations about what it means to follow you. God, I pray that all these thoughts will be solidified as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And let's stand together.